Is Wednesday, February 19th. This is the women's Chumash Shir. We're up to Bereshit, Perek Yutet, Pasuk Dalad.
Okay, Rabotai.
We are up to Bereshit, Perek Yutet, Pasuk Dalad, in the middle of the Lot story. And last week we focused on, Dr. Lamb's essay about Lot as a person, tracing every time he is mentioned in the text. Today we go back to the story at the beginning of Pasuk Dalet. Two individuals had come to Lot's house. They were not planning on staying over. Lot implored them to stay, and they finally did stay. They may have used a circuitous route to get to the house in order not to be noticed. And the Torah told us that he made for them mishteh and matzot afa vayochelu. Matzot afa vayochelu. Now, and we're up to Pasuk Dal, but just one last word on Pasuk Gimel. Who mentions that? Yeah. It's interesting to note the description as to how the Torah describes Lot serving and entertaining his guests. It could have easily have said in Pasuk Gimel that Vayavo el Beito, they came to the house and he made matzot because he wanted to let you know that it was Pesach time and whatever else he served. But it uses the expression Vayas lohem mishteh. That's a funny type of an expression, knowing what's happening in this community. Obviously, the two angels or people, did not feel comfortable walking into the house. They had to take a circuitous route. And the last thing that you would think would be happening is they throwing a party for them. And someone points out that don't think there were balloons and things like that, that it was a real party. But what does Mishteh often connote? That he had lots of wine. They used wine as a major part of the meal. Now don't think that just because they had matzos they were drinking four cups of wine and observing a seder. That's not what was happening. And in fact, they highlight the fact, I forgot who said this, that when it comes to Avraham, we only find one time, he's made meals a couple of times, only one time does the Torah use the expression that he made a mishteh. And that is, and Chamishi of this parsha that we're learning, we'll see it in a couple of weeks, Vayas lehem mishteh, biyom higomel et Yitzchak. The day in which either Yitzchak was weaned, or it was his bar mitzvah day. There was a debate as to what exactly the significance of this was, bar mitzvah or not. And Rashi points out that who was invited, in the name of the Medrash, who was invited to this particular party? All the great leaders of all of the neighboring towns and countries. So when you have a population of respected leaders and so on and so forth, the expectation was that there would be wine served at that particular feast and meal. And that's when the Torah uses Vayas lohem mishteh, yes, a meal based on wine. However, here it's used to be somewhat critical of Lot. that's not the type of a meal that you would expect. And indeed, at the beginning of the parsha in Perek Yudchet, when Avraham invites these very same people into his tent, the Torah never uses the expression that there was a mishteh going on. It describes what he served. El habakar ratz Avraham. And he gave them chema v'chalav. But no party, no wine drinking. And here it's emphasized, again, forgot by whom, that Lot, this is part of Lot's personality. You have somebody come in, they could be perfect strangers, but what do? You don't just serve them a glass of wine. That wouldn't have been terrible. Because don't forget, wine, for thousands of years, is the primary drink of every single person in that neighborhood, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Even in the Mishnaic times, a couple of thousand years later, we know that wine is the primary drink. Nobody ever drank water. It was unheard of. There was not enough clean water supply for people to drink water like we drink today. And the Mishnah always describes Yayin Lifnei Hasuda, Yayin Bitoch Hasuda, and Yayin Shela'achar Hasuda. Three different types of drinking. Which one do you make a bracha on, and so on and so forth. So that was that's not unusual. But to call it a Mishteh, where you're not just having a glass of wine with your dinner, but you're getting perhaps plastered and so on and so forth, that was a description of Lot and not a very favorable one at that point either. Okay, so the Torah tells us in Pasuk Dalet, Terem Yishkavu, before they went to bed, the Anshei Sdom, Nasabu Alabayit, Mina'ar va'ad zaken. The people of the city, the people of Sodom, circled the house from the young to the old. Kol ha'am mikatze. The entire city, all of the residents, even for those who live on the katze, on the extremities, they were nowhere near. They didn't live anywhere near Lot's house yet. When they heard that there are guests sleeping in somebody's house in this city of stone, everybody comes to protest. Everybody. Not just the immediate neighbors, but it's called Ha'am Mikatze. That all two common, two Mefarshim are going to make that very same comment. That's correct. Excellent.
What'd she say?
Let's read it inside. I'll tell you what. Yes. The Rashbam heard the Chamaseya, so he printed it in his book. So take a look on the page, which I distributed. On page one, the Rashbam, on the top right end of the page, and Chizkuni says the same thing on the bottom. Kol mikatze lohodia sha'afilu echad min ha'asara she'amar Avraham lo nimtza bahem. That Avraham had failed to prayed if there were 10 tzaddikim. So the Rashbam comments, not only were there not 10 tzaddikim, there wasn't even one tzaddik. And that's why the Torah emphasizes, Kol ha'am mikatze. Every single member of this community, from one end to the other end, even if you're living in the suburbs, you didn't live right next door, you protested here. And on the bottom of the page, Chizkuni makes the same point on the phrase Mina'ar va'ad zaken, Mikivan shekulam rishaim, since all of them rishaim, Lefikach lo ne'ene Avraham kishehit palel al asara. Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu answer in the affirmative to Avraham's prayer? He would have had there been 10 people. Not only were there not 10 people, there weren't even two or three, not even one person who would say, would not try to protest what was happening. Fine, that's exactly what Nechama just said. And that's why Avraham does not pray for less, because it was hopeless at that particular time. But a couple other points on this particular pasuk. If you had to characterize a society as living appropriately or inappropriately, who would be the greatest contributors to the culture of that particular community? The younger members of the community or the older members of the community? Who would be responsible for the culture of a particular community? There is a culture here in Teaneck too. Whatever that culture is. But there is a culture. There's a certain thing that identifies us as a type of community, at least within the Jewish community world. You know, people identify the Bergen County, the Teaneck community. Who is responsible for that particular culture, wherever it is, good, bad, or otherwise? The older ones or the younger ones? Of course it's the older ones. No doubt. The younger ones, the little whippersnappers, they're looking to stir things, either make a decision whether or not they want to, you know, continue it, or move to the right, move to the left, whatever it is. So some are concerned. It should have said Mizakein v'adnar. If you wanted to characterize who is responsible for a society, that every single resident is, like we would call them, a scumbag today, who is not interested whatsoever in any element of decency, I would blame the elders. So they ask the question, why does it say mina'ar v'ad zakein, from the young, even the old? It should have said mizakein v'adnar, that from the older ones, from which you can understand, or from whom you can understand why elders are acting in such a fashion, because they've been acting that way their entire life. And they are responsible for imparting their culture to the younger ones. So it would be Mizakein v'ad na'ar. Why mina'ar v'ad zakein? And perhaps it is telling us, what do you want to suggest? That the younger ones, perhaps. Does anybody know another pasuk in the Torah where exactly that idea is mentioned first? The younger ones, then? Where? Good, excellent. It's Parshat Bo, where Paro asks Moshe, Mi v'mi haholchim. After the seventh Makkah of Arba, Paro is already getting a little antsy, and he asks Moshe, okay, you want to go on a 3-day festival, who exactly is going along? And what does Moshe answer? Minureinu v'ad zikaneinu nelech. Our kids are going, and from the youngest to the oldest. And normally it would be the opposite. Of course the older are going first. So zikeneinu are certainly going. Not only that, Paro, we also want the younger ones, who Paro understood would not play much of a role in a religious festival. It's like the little kids running in shul. Leo, I'm just painting the picture. Right over there, seat number one, where Marty is giving out candy, and as soon as he walks in, there are 20 kids online to get those. He's got a choice. It's not just a lollipop. He brings lots of different types of things. So those people are not going to contribute to a religious holiday much. They're going to want candy. So it should have been Moshe Rabbeinu says, Mizkeinenu v'ad ni'ureinu. But there also it's the reverse. And it's perhaps to teach us a lesson, that when you're dealing with an elder society, so it's not that shocking that they continue to act in a certain fashion, because they've done this all their life. You know, they have this little gang and they somehow feel that it's inappropriate to engage in hospitality. But when a society is so corrupt that it already impacts upon the younger generation, who often do not like to what? To follow in footsteps of parents. They like to forge and carve out their own identity, to be associated and lumped in together with the ancient ones of that particular society. That really shows how corrupt Sodom is. And you emphasize, the Zekeneinu, I'm not such a great shot. What is it? Ne'areinu, the kids, Mina'ar v'ad Zakein. Of course the Zakein were. But even the Ne'arim, and I mentioned them first because it's so much more hurtful for an outsider to notice that who has been enveloped in this type of culture, not only the senior citizens or the long-time residents, even the children have been sucked along into this type of lifestyle, and it's that much more painful and speaks even more so to the inappropriate, to the unethical and immoral culture of a society that all of the younger ones were already impacted, when you don't know, always expect that kids are going along for it. I always point out that one of the things, the nice things about Teaneck, when we were growing up, all of us, one of the things that was almost one of the golden rules after you get married is you don't want to live next to your parents. Never would consider that. It happens rare. It happened. I'm not saying it never happened. But it certainly was the talk of one of them, particularly if only one of their parents is where they were living. So the guy would say, oh, we're not living here, not living with your parents, especially if it was his in-laws. So fine. One thing about Teaneck is that there are so many young men and young women who grew up in Teaneck and have decided, not just as a I got no place else, but to make Teaneck their home base, because the lifestyle of raising a child in Teaneck was a very positive one. And it's not a phenomenon that you find very frequently, but it's happened with very strong numbers, and that bodes well for the future of a community, and it's not going to become like so many of the other communities that typically house the Jewish community, and then the generation moves on, and now their synagogues are turning into churches, because there's nobody there to daven anymore. I don't see that on the immediate front. So the culture here was conducive to raising a child, and children took advantage of it. But that's point number two, Mina'ar v'ad Zakein. Does anybody want to ask a question about Anshei Ha'ir, Anshei Sodom? Anybody want to ask a question? Of course it's redundant. So what should it have said? What would have been the simple shot? What would have been the simple, which of the two phrases would you have used? Could have said Anshei Sodom, and that's it. And even if it said just Anshei Ha'ir, I know it's Sodom, because two psukim earlier, what did it say? Vayavo hashnei hamalachim Sidoma ba'erev. The two malachim, angels, came to the city of Sodom. It says it right there in the first pasuk. So what, I have to tell me again, Anshei Sodom? Anshei Ha'ir could have been perfectly okay as well. So this, some will comment on. Let's take a look at Rashi. Terem Yishkavu. V'Anshei Ha'ir, Anshei Sodom. Kach Midrash Bebreishis Rabbah. Rashi starts with the Midrash. Now, you've learned enough Rashi, and if not, I'll tell you. Most of the time, not all, but most of the time, when Rashi chooses to cite something besides the Medrash and quote the simple pshat, Rashi will normally start, here is an interpretation, and I'll write, v'zehu pshito. This is the simple pshat. Midrash agada, and the Midrash says something else. That's Rashi's usual style. Even more so, Rashi doesn't even bother quoting the simple pshat. He just quotes one thing, and it's our job to look into the Midrash to see where he stole it from. Because Rashi, as I've told you 60,000 times, 70% of the time interprets the text based on the Midrash. Here Rashi does something which he does infrequently. He starts with the Midrash, and then after he finishes, he says, oh, you know, I'll tell you what the simple pshat is. That's not, you know, from an educational point of view, it's a little unusual. First tell me what the simple pshat is, and then worry about the Medrash. But Rashi starts here, Kach Midrash Bebereshus Rabba. Terem Yishkavu Ve'anshi Ha'ir Hayu Bifihem Shel Malachim. Anshi Ha'ir was the dialogue of between Lot and the two angels. So it's not Anshi Ha'ir, what's the verb that normally, that should follow Anshei Ha'ir? What's the verb that should follow? What about the Anshei Ha'ir? What verb does the Torah tell us about these people? What did they do? Nosabu al habayis. They circled the house. So it's either Anshei Ha'ir nosabu al habayis or Anshei Sdom nosabu al habayis. But it's not what the Medrash says. Anshei Ha'ir is not related to Nasabu al Habayis. What does Anshei Ha'ir mean according to the Midrash? Anshei Ha'ir was the topic of conversation. When? Before they went to bed. Terem Yishkavu, before they went to bed, and the Anshei Ha'ir. Lot was in dialogue with the two people who came about whom? The residents of the city. Shehayu, continues Rashi, Sho'alim li'lot. They were asking the following questions of Lot. Ma tivam. What about these people? What are their characteristics, their traits? U'ma'asehem. And what type of things do they like doing? V'hu omer lahem rubam risha'im. The majority of them are what? Risha'im. Then, Odam Midabrim Bahem, while the two angels were talking about the Anshei Ha'ir, what now happens? Anshei Sidom Nasabo Alabayit. The Anshei Sidom, the people of the township, actually circled the house. Kacha Omer Hamidrash. Now I'm just going to read the Pshuto Shel Mikra, then try to solicit something from you. Upshuto Shel Mikra, what's the simple pshat? V'anshe Ha'ir, Anshe Rashav, the people of this city, bad people, Nasoba Labayas. Al Shahayu Risha'im Nikra'im Anshei Sidom. In other words, the simple pshat is to put a comma after the word Va'anshei Ha'ir and to put a comma after the word Sidom. And that the only verb in the text is going on Anshei Ha'ir. But the editor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, throws in an adjective describing these Anshei Ha'ir. Who are these Anshei Ha'ir? They're Anshei Sdom. Not because they live in Sdom. I know that they're living in Sdom because the Torah tells us that they came to Sdom. So in what way am I describing the characteristics of these people by calling them Anshei Sdom? Based on the Torah's description of the word Anshei Sdom previously. What did it say in Parshat Lech Lecha when HaKadosh Baruch, when the Torah, when Lot suggested, I am going where? To Sodom, and you, Abraham, you go wherever you go. What did the Torah say? The Anshei Sodom, Ra'im V'chata'im Lashem Ma'od. So the Torah is now characterizing who, what type of a people these people are, not identifying them their city. We know that their city is the city of Sodom because it says it at the beginning of the parak that they came to Sodom. So it's as if it said, the Anshei Ha'ir, who were terrible people. How does the Torah write who were terrible people? By calling them Anshei Sdom. What did these Anshei Ha'ir do? Nasabu al Abayis. That is the simple interpretation. Nasabu al Abayis. Al Shahayu Rishaim Nikraim Anshei Sdom. Kimosha Amara Katuv. V'anshei Sdom ra'im v'chata'im. Fine, just that. Now, if Rashi cites the Midrash first, what do you think that means, Rashi's preferences? Rashi's preference. He believes the Medrash is the real pshat of the pasuk, even though he knows it's a Midrash. Why does Rashi feel, what advantage is given to us in the Midrash as opposed to reading the Pasuk Lefi Pshat? One would have expected that the Pshat is always the best simple Pasuk, because you don't need anything else. You don't have to read into it, you don't have to ship anything into the words. Just read the Pasuk the way it reads. That's what the Pshat does. What advantage does Rashi gain for us by presenting the Midrash's view? So read it again and tell me what statement, what about Lot would you learn from the comment in the Medrash?
That he knew who he embraces it.
Not the right word. Is he condemning everybody? What is he? Rubama Rishon. There are plenty of people who are decent in this town. Plenty of people who are decent. Who do you think he's referring to? Who do you think he's referring to? He's characterizing himself. And don't think that I am I'm one of them, God forbid. He's characterizing himself. Or what else might be implied in Lot's statement, Rubam Rishaim? What else? Not that he's, let's assume he didn't have himself and his family in mind. What else, what other impression might you generate about Lot as an evaluator of what's happening in his town?
He doesn't recognize
what his town is all about. He thinks, of course, yeah, the majority are, but the minority are not. Now, a minority can be 49.9% of people. That's also a minority. The majority is 51%. It means it's a mixed community. Perhaps Rashi is doing one of two things by favoring the Midrash. I want you to know that we are inserting here a comment, an editorial about Mr. Lot. Either he's clueless, or perhaps deliberately trying to what? Trying to what?
Paint
a positive picture. Why might he be painting a positive picture? Can you, let's be the angels and Lot describing what's going on. Give me something, a little clue as to what these two angels might have already told Mr. Lot and why he's a little worried. What might they have said in their little discussion before he went to bed? Let's put it, we don't know, but let's put their words into their mouth. What may they have told Mr. Lot?
That
they're ready to destroy the town. Now, what's running through Lot's mind?
That's
Am I included in that destruction? Am I getting killed also? So how does he defend himself? To make sure that they understand not to destroy him. Either what? Oh, me. We're not them. We're not those people. Or not just him. He doesn't want to be as arrogant as that, saying, I'm the only person. What does he say? Oh, it's the majority, but there are lots of people here who are very decent and moral people. And therefore, Mr. Little Angels, you've got to be a little selective. You can't just, what? Destroy the whole town. But perhaps he was worried only about himself. And it stands to reason that he might have suspected that he's a goner as well. He didn't know. Later on, the angel tells him, pack your bags and so on. Don't pack your bags. Just get out of the house and leave with me. Yeah.
If they had that kind of discussion and Lot knew their mission or what the fate of zoning, that may explain, not extend, but explain the declaration of saving or protecting those angels at any cost, protecting his guests at any cost, and even offering his daughters.
Good. Good, yes. It would explain why Lot is willing to do anything to protect them. That's good. I like that. Yes, good.
Rabbi,
yes?
But it could be that Rashi favors this Midrash because immediately comes Minar Bat Zakeh. So it's saying this Pasuk is sharpened by the Midrash. So how unrealistic he was.
I like that. It's highlighting Lot's perception is only Ruban. So the text says, how wrong is he? It's me not Arba Azaken. Very good. Write that down. It'll be in next week's Kol Torah. Yeah. Yes?
If the angels had told Lot that the equivalent of Ninden and Hepha, or like that the...
Right.
Then Lot would have said, please save me. He doesn't do what Rafa does. He doesn't say...
Okay, that's a good point. We don't find any place that anybody's asking to be spared. It's a good point. That might be a counter. Good. But any of those explanations will help give us some why Rashi deliberately preferred the Midrash as opposed to the Pshat. Because he liked that message, that little dialogue that may have been taking place between Lot and those angels. Take a look at the Radak on the left-hand side of the first page. Amar Anshe Sodom, Achar She'omar Anshe Ha'ir, the Torah uses the expression Anshe Sodom after it just said Anshe Ha'ir, Ki Yadua Hayake Ha'ir Sheba Eleha Sodom Hu. Everybody, every Tom, Dick, Harry, and Sam knows that the name of the city happens to be Sodom. El Rotsa Lomar, Heru B'Ma'asehem, Ki Anshe Sodom Hayu. He showed them that their actions are the equivalent of people who we identify as Anshei Sodom. Shene'emar aliyem v'Anshei Sodom ro'im yechatayim l'Hashem. That's exactly one of the previous interpretations that we just saw. Yeah. However, a different explanation is offered on page number 2 by the Or HaChaim. And he says it in the strongest terminology about what Lot's opinion was. Terem Yishkavu, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Velo Amar Achar Ochlam. This little discussion did not take place, at least after meal, when I could understand a meal would take place, but rather Terem Yishkavu, before they went to bed. Magid Shahayu Dvarim Beinehem Be'emsa. That between what? Between the end of the meal and going to bed, there was some heavy discussion between Lot and the two guys. Vehu omrom zal shahaya Lot melitz tov ba'ad Sodom. That's the strongest expression here. Not just the majority are bad, a couple of people. Not just me, but what was he really doing? Advocating on behalf of Sodom. Now, if he's advocating on behalf of Sodom, what assumption must be correct, according to Yerucha Chaim? What assumption that someone here didn't like and I said, that's okay. What assumption must have been accurate if this is the response of Mr. Lot?
He told about the
destruction. He told about the destruction. Exactly. He knows about the destruction. And that's why he's a little upset. And what does he do? He speaks to them and saying, oh no, they're okay. Vitam shelo hafchu Sodom oz tekefu miyad. So if everybody was terrible, everybody was terrible, and the angels knew it, and they knew that Lot is playing games trying to defend them, so why do they wait until this whole episode takes place? Why don't they just walk into the city of Sodom and ask God to do what? Whatever he does, he gives the governance vanilla. Let it start raining sulfur and salt. Why does he wait until they go into the house, they have a big meal, they're going to sleep, people knock on the door? Why don't they just walk into the city and destroy the whole city?
They want to convince themselves.
What?
They wanted to convince themselves.
So that's almost correct. It's based on a pasuk that the Torah used in the previous paragraph. Kfar pirashti le'el, ki heim adayan odam bisafek hatzala. They are not 100% sure that this particular city deserves to be destroyed. Ki omro, as the pasuk itself said about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Er Danav Ereh. I'm going down to see what's happening. V'chein gam kein amru b'midrash v'zeh lishonam. Haya lot nevakesh rachamim al Sodom v'hayu mikabla mimenu. V'kevan she'amru lo hotzi'am v'neida. What happened was like this. The two angels were actually considering giving them a part. That was my next question. That's not their choice. That's not their choice. That's the difficulty with this message. What do you mean? If our Kodesh Baruch Hu says destroy, they could, maybe we shouldn't destroy.
This is the way that the letter here, Rashi, then by asking, well,
exactly. Correct. And therefore it's not surprising that Lot, according to this, said that this city is worth saving. You know, they're not 100% sure. And then what ultimately changes their mind? Their actions. They come around to the building. They said, please send us out the two guests that you have. That convinced them that they deserve to die. But to create an imagery that at this stage they are not yet convinced that the people of Sodom deserve to die, and that Sodom is being advocated on behalf of Sodom by Lot himself, completely, not just acknowledging that the Rubama Rishaim, maybe the whole city doesn't deserve to be destroyed, is somewhat of a push. And yet Orach Chaim relies on that, and then he dregs up this Medrash to support his opinion, and that Medrash needs, I didn't see the Midrash inside, but I trust the Orach Chaim didn't make it up. You need a lot of explanation. What do you mean, maybe we won't kill them? That's their whole mission. Their whole mission is kill Sodom and rescue Lot. That's the two people who are there. Yeah.
Perhaps it was related to his Lot that they were so bad. Lot was going to be saved, and he said he wasn't going to be, but that Lot should realize just how bad it was, and that it wasn't just a one-off decision, that he should learn from it and just see how bad they became, and in the future he should.
Okay, that's possible. Yeah. Yes?
Also, you last time you were talking about how Lot was connected to Avraham, that he learned so much from him, and I don't know if anyone talks about this, but even the way you were talking about him just now, how he's advocating, it's like how Avraham was advocating.
Good, yes. That's a good point. It's a good point. Send a little note to Dr. Lamb. He should include that in the essay as a positive thing. Yes?
Or a kind of quote, Erdana Be'er'eh. So maybe Hashem has the Malachim there to report back. So maybe it's not that they're making the decision.
It's that they're waiting to report to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Good. Probably correct. But then Or HaChaim offers another midrash to explain why they did not necessarily destroy immediately. Od tam shelo hishchitu sdom be'oto sha'ah. Forget about everything I just said. Nobody's pleading for them. They deserve to be killed instantly. Shehimtinu ad hashkamat haboker. They waited until they went to sleep. And they were waiting until the next morning when everybody's getting up. Kidei shiyeh zman hamiyuchad l'rachamim lahatzilat Lot. Number one, so that the time of the day will be a little more conducive to saving Lot. Din is usually depicted by Lila, and Rachamim is generally associated with day. Masha'ein kein balayla shehu tigboret hadinim lo yimalek Lot. That if you were to make this decision at night, under those circumstances, the channels of Rachamim are not as well attuned, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu may have decided under those circumstances to operate based on Midat Hadin, in which case Lot deserves to die as well. Rabbi Seinu Zal Amru Lefishya Yovdim Lachama Ulilavana Hilku Otam Leine Hashemesh Vahayoreach Biyom Tetzayin Binisan. When did he decide to kill them? When both of their God, these people worship the star, the sun and the moon, as most idolaters did at that particular time. Not they didn't worship Eitz Va'Even, a chair. What they did was worship the powerful luminaries of this world, the sun and the moon. Well, early in the morning, as you well know, at times you can see the moon is still out and the sun is still out. So they waited for a time to demonstrate that their gods will not be able to save them, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will destroy them against the will of their gods, to teach them that their gods were absolutely worthless. That's why they didn't do it at night when they arrived, because the Torah told us they arrived at night. It says Vayavo Hamav Sidoma Ba'erev. They came at night, but they didn't destroy right away. According to this midrash, it was a deliberate, not that there was any deliberations. No deliberations. They're guilty as charged. But we are waiting until the morning in order to punish not only them, but to demonstrate as well that their gods are totally worthless.
It says Tetzayin in front of the full moon.
What is that? Because it was the day after Tetzayin, of course. That's good, yeah, the full moon. But we know it was Pesach. So Pesach is Tetvav. So the next day, it actually should have been the day of Tetvav, not the day of Tetzayin. Because if they ate matzah at night, it's because they ate the night of the 15th. The next day is the day of the 15th. I don't know what that means. But okay, let's move on. Vayikru'u elot. Vayomru lo, and they said to him, Ayeha anashim ashebau elecha halayla. Where are those two people who came to you during the night? Hotzi'em eleinu v'neid'a otam. Please bring them out and we will get to know them. So everybody says, except for the Ramban, everybody interprets the word v'neid'a'em as homosexual relationships. It's a euphemism for having sex. That's according to almost everybody on the page and beyond. You'll just take a look at Rashi, Vinei Da'osam, B'mishkav Zachor. And right below that, Ibn Ezra, Vinei Da'osam, Kinui Lishchiva. It's a nickname for having relations. On the top of the right-hand side, the Rashbam, Vinei Da'osam, B'mishkav Zachor, homosexual relation. Everybody says that. The Chizkuni says it, everybody. However, the Ramban doesn't agree. Take a look at page, yes?
Could it be that Lot threw out his daughters to prove that Sodom was not so bad, and they would have relations with women and not necessarily with men?
That's a possibility. It is a possibility. But that the fact that he offers his two daughters is that which many quote as proof positive that what they wanted was to have relations with these two guys. Because if they wanted something, just, you know, if they wanted anything else, why would he offer their two daughters? How does one, you know, reciprocate for the other? But if they're looking to have a sexual relationship with these guys, now offering the daughters, you know, at least is in the same ballpark. But I hear what you're saying. Well, I want to just take a look at the Ramban. V'neid'a otam. Kavanatam lichalot et haregel mi beinehem kedivrei rabotenu. What do you think it means? No. Kedivrei rabotenu. To cut their legs off. Part of their routine was, oh, you brought already a guest? Okay, we'll teach this guest a lesson, like we always do. If his legs are bigger than the bed, they cut off the legs. If the legs are shorter, you pull the legs out or something. Says the Ramban that he believes that v'neida otam does not mean for homosexual relationships. He means to implement that which Chazal did, namely, lichalot et haregel mi beneihem. Ki chashvu, because they believed, sheba'avur tovat artsam, because the land was so good, shehi kigan Hashem, it is described earlier, like the garden of God, yavo sham rabim, many people are going to come to visit. Vehem hayu mo'asei hatzdakah. And they revolted. It was disgusting for them to provide hospitality. Because that only encourages more people to come. And then if you like it, you'll decide to live here. And that means we have less of this wonderful Gan Hashem for ourselves. Avolot be'oshro u'bimamono ba'alehem. But Lot was a multi-millionaire. So he decided, you know what? I'm going to offer them hospitality. O shebikesh mehem rishut. Who do you think? Lot asked permission from the town council, let's say. Lot, can I please have an exception and invite these people? Good. Good. O shekibluhu lichvod Avraham. Or that they welcomed him, what? For what purpose? Because in honor of what Avraham. So now, So now, this is a totally different picture, according to the Ramban. And what piece of information that Rashi claimed and others emulated might be supported by this comment of the Ramban? I'll give you the hint on the words which upon which the comment was made. The Pasuk says, Velot in Pasuk Aleph of this Perek, Velot Yoshev B'Sha'ar Sidon. So who remembers the Midrashic comment about Sha'ar Sidon? He was made, Lot was made a Dayan that particular day. And the Beis Din always sat by the gates of the city so that everybody will know. So do not use the Midrash's comment that Lot was appointed, but in light of what the Ramban just said, tell me why the Torah tells us it was B'Sha'ar Sidon.
He was asking permission.
Exactly. The two people came. Vayavo Shnei Amalachim. They're coming to Lot. So what does Lot do? He goes to the town council. Can I have a variance? I know what the law is. Can I please have an exception? As a wealthy person, he perhaps expected what? That they would adhere to his request. Or perhaps, maybe Avraham's reputation was the Chalmar, in honor of Avraham, maybe they will make an exception. So in which case, Lot is simply asking permission. That's why he's at the Beit Din, not because he was appointed as a judge that day. And that is perhaps what is supporting the Ramban's contention, which is quoted, I've shown you everything else. Nobody makes that claim, that was happening with Lot. That he's asking them permission to house his two guests. He must have thought that what? He must have thought. What did he? What did Lost definitely think? That there is a chance that they're going to say yes. And what probably happened? They said no. And now why are they surrounding the house? Because you just got a decision from the court. No. Variance granted, and you started construction anyhow. Started construction anyhow. You invited them. So what you come and ask for if you're going to do in any event? That's the scene that the Ramban tries to create. Not try, create.
Even
yes.
If they said yes, it could be that the townspeople are not comfortable with that.
That's also possible. Even if they had granted permission, they were not comfortable with it.
There might have been a faction that never wanted a low bread in. And now this is like shame
migration. Wow, okay. That's reading a lot into it. That is possible. That's taking it a little further. But that's what the Ramban says.
Rabbi?
Yes?
So before we go, Debbie actually mentioned this, that, Suri Chanelis, Shalom, used to be one of our members of this group.
I know. I mentioned it at Leviathan when I spoke. Certainly should. Certainly appropriate. Yeah. I know. And Shandy also comes. She used to sit right next to her.
They always had very nice, interesting comments.
Yes. I mentioned that at the Levi also. Yes. Yes. That's, yes. And I even said that Shandy encouraged, Suri encouraged Shandy to ask the questions. Because Shandy by nature is much more reserved and quiet. She's afraid to ask questions. But Suri would stab her in the back and come on, ask the question. Yes, that is true. All right, we'll stop here and we'll continue next of up. Yes.